This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Are Chinese financial markets opening up, and the lure of farming the opium poppy in Afghanistan?
We have a weak government and there's no other jobs to do. We have to provide food for our family.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A first in Chinese commodities today, with the launch in Shanghai of crude oil futures trading in renminbi, and it's open to foreigners. And on Friday, a major U.S. bond market benchmark said it will add Chinese government debt to its portfolio for the first time. So what does greater openness in China's financial markets mean for global investors? Brian Collins is head of fixed income at Fidelity International in Hong Kong.
Reliance on foreign capital for a lot of other countries around the world, certainly rapidly growing economies, is typically much, much higher. For China's role, they've been able to provide a relatively strong, stable level of domestic funding to fund their growth. So the reliance on external capital is just not there. And so as the economy starts to become more engaged in domestic demand, as you start to see a focus on developing regional trading partnerships, being able to allow foreign companies to issue in the onshore bond market, to raise RMB to fund their own operations onshore, and conversely, allow Chinese companies to provide, have better access to international funding markets, it's somewhat of a mutually beneficial arrangement to see the respective capital markets become a little bit more open, a little bit more integrated, but only slowly, only progressively. You don't want this to happen overnight. You want these kind of developments to be incremental, to allow international investor community to get familiar, to get comfortable with how the market operates. And so as the market grows and develops, it can be done in a relatively healthy, progressive, measured way. And that is inherently such a big positive as we see that market continue to open up.
Brian Collins. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly higher after last week's sell-off. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index closed up 239 points, or 0.8%, amid reports that China and the U.S. are working towards an agreement on allowing greater U.S. access to China's financial sector. Now, Uber is selling its business in Southeast Asia to regional rival Grab in return for a stake in the combined company. The move comes 2 years after Uber exited China in a similar deal. Fred Giron is vice president of research company Forrester.
Uber came on a record a few months ago stating that they were losing money in Southeast Asia, that the business was not profitable. So I think we are seeing, you know, a replay of what happened in between Didi and Uber in China, and this time in between Grab and Uber, where the major investors have probably pushed the two companies to get along together and try to find a deal so that they consolidate and stop these cash-burning wars. What's interesting, though, is I think that the competition is going to shift towards other industries and other services. If you look at the investments that Grab has been making in the food delivery business, but also in financial services.
Fred Giron. More than 90% of the opium poppies used to make the world's heroin and morphine come from Afghanistan. And last year's harvest was the biggest ever recorded. That's bad news for those fighting the global heroin epidemic and for the prospects of peace and stability in Afghanistan. The BBC's Justin Rowlatt reports.
I'm at Resolute Support, the headquarters of the US-led NATO mission here in Afghanistan. And that's a Black Hawk helicopter you can hear flying off. Now, the US has had a military presence here in Afghanistan ever since the 2001 war to oust the Taliban. But 17 years on, not only are the US troops still here, so is the Taliban. And so are the poppy fields that increasingly finance this country's interminable civil war.
2 years ago, I went to visit a typical Afghan opium farmer.
How much opium will you collect today? 1.5 kilos.
And are people here careful not to use opium? Do they understand opium is dangerous?
Yeah, it's very dangerous. I mean, go and see Kabul. A lot of people are addicted and see their life condition there.
Mark Calhoun is the deputy representative of the UN Office of Drugs and Crime in Afghanistan. The UNODC reckons opium production rose 87% in 2017. So what is last year's bumper opium crop likely to mean for global heroin addiction?
One scenario is the prices will fall in the existing markets, leading to increasing use in those markets. The other option is expanding into new markets.
Because of the American involvement here in Afghanistan, it's politically sensitive, the idea that Afghan heroin is causing a problem in America. But you're saying you think that significant amounts are making the journey to America.
More than reported at this stage.
It goes some way to explaining the US military's renewed focus under President Trump on bombing Taliban heroin labs. But is Afghanistan's booming opium industry really just a result of the insurgency? There are other deep-rooted economic and social reasons why farmers grow poppies here.
We have to grow it because there's no other jobs to do.
Do you feel at all guilty that you're growing a drug that you know damages the people that use it?
Well, I do feel guilty, but there's no other way of making money. I mean, we have a weak government and there's no other jobs to do. We have to provide food for our family.
That report from Justin Rolat. Finally, want to light up your special event? The world's first aerospace entertainment firm is offering meteor showers on demand. Microsatellites will disperse tiny particles that burn up in the sky above. Cheaper than fireworks, apparently. They're not great for decluttering the Earth's orbit. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.